Turn back with me to Joel chapter 3, verse 14. I'm just going to use this verse really as a text for my sermon title. I'm going to talk about some other Bible stories here at the start, but as Brother Larry just said, maybe you're able to guess what the message is going to be about. I can give you a hint. It's repeated twice, but that could be two different things, right? Because there's two things that are repeated twice. You got multitudes, that's twice, and then you got the valley of decision, that's twice. This morning I'm preaching on the valley of the decision. The valley of decision. And here it's talking about the valley of Jehoshaphat. It's talking about how the Lord is going to judge the heathen, the wicked. And so we're not necessarily talking about that this morning. We're taking this phrase here, the valley of decision, and we want to emphasize that and speak on that this morning. It says, verse 14 again, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So you listen carefully as I preach this morning to try to help you. It's not going to be a life-changing message. It's not going to be a message that I believe you're going to leave here shouting and doing flips and jumping jacks all the way out to the parking lot. But it's a very practical message, and I think it'll be very helpful to you. I think it can really save you some grief in your life if you will put some of these principles that I'm going to give you this morning into practice. So this morning, please listen carefully as I preach on the valley of decision. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the way you've inspired and preserved it for us. And Lord, every word is important. And Lord, this phrase here that you've repeated twice caught my attention, Lord, and I want to use it to talk about decisions in our lives and making decisions. And I pray that you'd help me to help your people. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would cleanse me, empty me, give me clarity of mind, fill me with your spirit, that I might preach what thus saith the Lord. I pray that each and every person here would have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith. And we pray that as we open up our hearts and minds to the Word of God, it would have free course, that it would take effect, that it would change us, Lord, in our thinking. So please bless our time this morning. We ask for your hand to be upon it. In Christ's name, amen. The valley of decision. Well, we all know what a decision is. Many of us don't like making decisions. Some of us thrive on making decisions. But all of us make decisions. And I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit later. But I want you to think in your mind right now and keep your phones put away. Don't cheat. But I want you to think about how many decisions you probably make every day. Now, maybe some of you have done some research on this. Then maybe you know the answer. What they say, the experts say. Who the experts are, we don't know. But what the experts say, how many decisions a person makes a day. We all make decisions. I'll give you that number at the end of the sermon. You can think about it all sermon. But a valley of decision. Well, what is a valley? A valley is a low point. A valley is a place where there's two mountains or two high points or high spots, and then the valley is a place of lower terrain. A valley is a low point in your life. A valley is downtime. A valley is a point where you're at a low point in your life, where you're down, you're maybe discouraged, you're depressed. In that valley of decision, making decisions when you're in the valley is very, very dangerous. A few examples of this is in Genesis 25, Esau had been out all day hunting, and he came back unsuccessful. He came back with nothing. He spent all day hunting, he came back, and as most hunters are, he probably was discouraged and agitated and frustrated and short-tempered because he didn't catch anything. He was there all day and he was hungry. He had nothing to eat. He didn't bring a sack lunch with him. That was his first bad decision. But he didn't bring anything with him as he was out hunting, and he came back and he was hungry. I mean, he was starving. No, he wasn't hungry. He was hangry. You ever heard of that? People, when they're hungry, they get angry. Well, that's what Esau was. He was hangry. He was starving. He wanted something to eat, and he wanted something so bad that he ends up trading his birthright for a bowl of stew or pottage. or soup, whatever you want to call it. He traded a bowl of soup for his birthright. Why? Because he was at a point where he was starving. He was in desperate need. He was not thinking clearly. He was going to do whatever he had to do to get something to eat. And so he made a poor decision in exchanging his birthright for a bowl of soup. In John chapter 21, Peter has just seen his hero killed. He saw the Lord hanging on the cross, and boy, that discouraged him. But in addition to that, there was a lot of guilt because he had just denied his Lord. Three times he said, "I don't know the man." And there was a sense of guilt. Peter was discouraged so much that in John chapter 21, he tells his other disciples, "Hey, look, guys, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to do what I'm good at. I'm going back to my former way of life." But remember, the Lord had called him out of that business, and he called him into the business of fishing for men. But Peter says at this point, he's dead. Our hero, our Savior, he's dead. It's partly my fault. I'm a poor excuse for an apostle. I can't do this. I can't serve the Lord anymore. There's no sense. I'm just going to go back to fishing, go out in the sea and do what I'm good at. And he made a poor decision in getting other people to come along with him. He went fishing. And in that little statement, he was basically saying, "Okay, I quit. I quit this ministry stuff. I'm going back to business." And he went fishing. And of course, the Lord came to Peter's side and came to the side of the sea and helped him find what he was looking for. He says, "Peter, I already got some fish on the fire. Just come to land. Yeah, I know you've been searching for fish, but I already got some fish being cooked, and why don't you just come to shore?" And he spent a time of fellowship with there, and three times he asked, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Lord Jesus reached out to him and drew him back. But Peter made a poor decision. Why? Because he was upset. He was ashamed. He felt guilty. Job's wife. Oftentimes people look at Job's wife, I think, in an unfair way. I mean, think of this. Here's a woman that has lost all of her children. I mean, her pride and joys of her life, the children that she raised since they were infants. She lost them all. She was grieving the loss of her children. In addition to that, her financial security had been taken away. One of the things that women need is security, and they need affection. They need that. And she didn't have that security no longer. I mean, her husband was as broke could be. He had lost everything. They lost their house. They lost their goods. They lost their financial well-being. And so she had that lack of security. And then she had to watch her husband go through an extraordinary, painful illness and disease. And to see your husband suffer, to see your husband in agony. I mean, she went through a lot. She saw a lot. Her heart was broken. She was crushed. And underneath the weight of all that emotional pain, she makes a poor decision to tell Job that he ought to just curse God and die. It was a poor decision for her to make that statement, for her to give that advice to her husband. But she made that decision in the valley. She made that decision in a low point in her life. She made that decision when things were not going well. David was tired. I mean, he had fought battle after battle. He was tired of fighting. He was tired of war. And so one day when his men went out to battle, he decided that he was just going to stay home. He said, "No, I'm not going out today. I want to stay home. I want to relax. I want to recuperate from all the battles we've been fighting." And David made a decision to stay home. The stress of war was burdened him down. And while he was up on top of the rooftop, his flesh began to lust after a woman that had caught his eye, Bathsheba. And in that moment of being tired, in that moment of being stressed out, in that moment of your flesh just wanting to let loose and to get some sense of gratification to help out with the stress and the fatigue that he was facing, he made a poor decision. He made a poor decision in having an affair with Bathsheba and then plotting to kill her husband. John Mark was a young preacher boy, if you will, young missionary. He was in training. He went along with Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey. And while he was on that missionary journey, John Mark saw what the ministry really is like. It's a war. One preacher used to say, "The ministry is a jungle. It's a all-out spiritual fight and war. It's something that can really quickly weigh you down, tear you up, and cause you to just give up. And John Mark was experiencing the ministry with Paul and Barnabas, and he saw satanic activity on the mission field. He saw how there was satanic opposition into trying to lead a soul to Christ. And I believe that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. He was scared, maybe, of that, and decided that, hey, this ministry stuff's not for me. I'm going back home. I'm not sure if that's the only reason. Perhaps he was homesick. Perhaps he missed home. Perhaps he was overwhelmed by the difficulty of ministry. Or maybe he was just plain scared. But he decided to quit. He made a poor decision, and he left the mission field. In all of these examples, Esau, he made a poor decision because he was hungry. Peter made a poor decision because he was guilty and ashamed. Job's wife made a poor decision because she was heartbroken and crushed. David made a poor decision because he was tired and stressed. John made a poor decision because he was scared and overwhelmed. Each example is a person making a decision when their decision maker was broken. When you're in the valley, you're not in the position to make major decisions. When you're in a low point, that's not the time to be making life-changing and altering decisions. There are examples in the Word of God, and I list a few of them, where a poor decision was made. Why? Because not enough time was spent in prayer. Not enough time was spent in comparing, looking for the principles in the Word of God. And I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. This morning, I brought a device, though. The reason I brought this is because I've been angry with this thing lately. It's called a mouse. You know what a mouse is. It's a wireless mouse. But I've been having problems with it. You know how frustrating it is when you're in the middle of something and then this stops working? I mean, you can't do anything. The arrow, you know that little arrow on the computer screen? It just sits there. And you can't do anything. I mean, you can't even restart the computer. You can't save the document. You can't do anything. It's frustrating. And I've been going like this in my office because of this stupid thing. And I don't know what it is, because Josiah gave me two batteries. He said that they were new that went into this thing. And so they initially worked, but then after a while, it stopped working. And I said, man, these batteries, Josiah said that they were new. They can't be new. They must be old. And so I said, Josiah, give me two more batteries. He gave me two more new batteries, he said. Same thing. Did the same exact thing. So I don't know if all four of the batteries are bad or what, but or two of the four are bad. Or is this stupid little gadget here, this device? But this morning is going to represent our decision-making machine. And when this thing is broken, when this thing doesn't work, we are in trouble. We are in difficulty. That two-page sermon that I was working on, without this being able to save it, or without going out and buying a new one, I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose all of that. It's important. But much more important than that is that decision-making device within you. And when it's broken, when it's not working properly, when it's dead, when it's low on power, when it's emotionally just fried, you cannot make the right decisions when you're in the valley. You've got to have some principles that will help you. And first of all, I want to give you, number one, learn biblical principles from the Word of God. If you're going to make the right decisions in your life, you've got to saturate yourself in the Word of God. This has got to be your guidebook. I mean, don't let this be like, you know, that, I was about to say VCR manual. How old is that? I'm way in the past. VCR. Who has a VCR still? Oh, some of you do. Don't let it be like that Blu-ray disc player that you received and you just took the manual and you threw the manual to the side and said, I don't need it. I can figure it out myself. Don't let this be like that kind of a man. You make this your life. You make this the most important book in your home. And you say, I'm going to spend time in it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to soak myself in the Word of God. We need to learn biblical principles from the Word of God. When we learn biblical principles from the Word of God, then we are grounding ourselves. We're building a foundation. We're adding structure to our lives so that when it comes time to make a decision, we don't have to make a decision. Our decision is already made. Why? Because we believe the principles of the Word of God. And whatever God says is right, whatever God says to do, I'm going to do. I'm not going to look at the outcome. I'm not going to look at the how it may turn out. I'm just going to do right because it's right to do right. And let God deal with the consequences. But we need to learn biblical principles from the Word of God. And if we don't know God's Word, then we're going to make poor decisions. We're going to make decisions that we're going to regret. And then one day, we're going to read the Word of God, and we're going to see a biblical principles, and we're going to be like, man, I wish I would have thought of that. I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have seen that before I made that decision. We need to learn biblical principles. That's number one. Number two, let those biblical principles make your decisions. You know, when I wake up, and it's not just because I'm the pastor. This would be me if I was just a normal church member. When I wake up Sunday morning, I don't have to make a decision about whether or not I'm going to church. That decision has already been made for me. It's a principle in the Word of God. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So that's the principle of the Word of God. So when I wake up Sunday morning, I have to say, well, do I want to go today? Do I feel like going today? No, the decision's already been made for me because it's a principle in the Word of God that God says, well, you need to be in my house. And so that principle is made for me. When it comes time to sit down and write out the bills and make out the checks, I don't ask myself, well, if I tithe, am I going to be short on my bills? Because the principle's already been made for me that if I don't tithe, then I'm robbing God. So I've got to tithe, and so I sit down, and that would be the first check that I write out. And if I come short, then I'll just trust God to make up for that shortness. But I want to obey Him first. That's a basic principle in the Word of God. How about this principle? The Bible says that we should abstain from all appearance of evil. So next time you have to make a decision, all you have to do, okay, could this appear to be evil? Could this appear to be sinful if I do this or if I make this decision? So you're letting principles make your decisions for you. That's so important that you learn the principles of the Word of God and then let the principles of the Word of God make your decision. And if you do that, you won't have to make as many decisions. That number that I'm about to give you at the very end will go down if you let biblical principles make your decisions. So number one, first, you got to learn biblical principles from the Word of God. Number two, don't let biblical principles make your decisions. Number three, do not make important decisions when you're in the valley. When you're hurting, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, it's not the time to make an important decision. When your emotional decision maker is broken, and it can be broken with a variety of emotions, but when it's broken, it's not the time to make decisions when you're in the valley. Do not make important decisions when you're in the valley, because when you're in the valley, emotions can run rampant. When you're in the valley, you'll either do one of two things. You'll either over-exaggerate in making a decision, or you'll just underestimate the value of that decision. When you're emotionally strung out like Job's wife, when you're in that valley where you've been crushed, you're hurt, and there's a burden, there's something that's weighing you down, you're crying yourself to bed, it's not the time to make a decision because you're emotionally not stable. And it's important that we make decisions when we're grounded and stable. And that's number three. Number four, very similar, but do not make important decisions when you're angry. Do not make important decisions when you're angry. You know what the Bible says? Be ye angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry because that's an emotion. But when you're angry, do not make a decision that will result in it being a sin. Anger is a very powerful emotion. And when we're angry, we're not in the right position to make an important decision. We're this broken decision maker when we're angry. We're not in the right frame of mind. I said, number one, learn biblical principles from the Word of God. Number two, let biblical principles make your decisions. Number three, do not make important decisions when you're in the valley. Number four, do not make important decisions when you're angry. Number five, do not make important decisions when you're rushed. When you're rushed. When we're rushed and frantic and we've got to do it. We're a prime example, a prime candidate to make a poor decision. God wants us to think very carefully. God wants us to apply biblical principles. But when we're being rushed into a decision, more often than not, we will make a poor decision. We don't want to be rushed into making a decision. We want to give God time to make it clear in our minds, in our hearts, what the right decision is. When you're rushed into a decision, you can't pray. I told one person, one preacher, that when I came a candidate here, that I told the church here that after you voted me to accept me or voted me in, voted to call me, that I wanted 30 days to pray about. And I told this to another preacher, and he said, "That's too long." And you know that was his opinion. He thought that I shouldn't make a church wait that long. But I didn't want to rush into a life-changing decision without spending much time in prayer and allowing God to make it clear in my mind and in the mind of the church. To rush into a decision is not. I mean, whether it be marriage, rushing into marriage, whether it be rushing into accepting a job offer, whether it be rushing into the decision to purchase something. We want to take our time with these things. We don't want to be reactionary. We don't want our decision just to be a reaction. We want to be proactive in our decision making. When we're rushed, we tend to make poor decisions. That's number five. Number six, go to someone else whose decision maker is not broken and get their advice. When you're in the valley, when you're emotionally shot, overwhelmed, when you're angry, when you're broken, that's the time to go to someone else whose decision maker is not broken and get their advice. I'm glad that I've had pastors, mature, older Christian friends that I've run things past occasionally. I'm so glad for the opportunity and the availability to get advice from seasoned Christian men. And there's going to be times where I'm not qualified to make a decision because I'm too invested, I'm too involved, I'm too overwhelmed, I'm too emotionally burdened, where I will make a poor decision. It's that time to get advice. It's that time to ask someone who maybe has gone through a similar decision or had to make a similar decision to get their advice. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. Don't rush into decisions. Don't make decisions when you're angry, when you're hurt or you're upset. Take some time to cool off. Take some time to pray about it. Take some time to let God show you what the right decision is, and surely make all your decisions based on biblical principles from the Word of God. But when we're in the valley, when we're overwhelmed, when we're angry, when we're scared, when we're tired, or even when we're hungry, we forget the principles of the Word of God and we make poor decisions like the examples I gave you at the beginning. Lastly, number seven, live by schedule, have a routine. Live by schedule and have a routine. As a pastor, I have to do this. This is a must. I have it right on my computer screen. If you were to come into my office, a computer screen there, I have it up. It's my schedule. And that schedule is my boss. I try to go by that. It's been altered lately because of searching for a vehicle, and I've had to adjust. And you make adjustments, but try to live by schedule. Try to have a routine. Try to have just things you do, and without even making a decision, you just that's what you do. And if you'll do that, if you'll live by schedule, if you have a specific routine, then you'll have to make less decisions because your schedule has already made a decision for you. But have a schedule, have a routine. Seven things this morning. We need to learn biblical principles from the Word of God. Number two, we need to let biblical principles make your decisions. Number three, do not make important decisions when you're in the valley. Number four, do not make important decisions when you're angry. Number five, do not make important decisions when you're rushed. Number six, go to someone else whose decision maker is not broken and get their advice. And then number seven, live by schedule and have a routine, daily routine. Now, of course, life is full of decisions, and the average person, according to the experts or to the statistic people, is between 33,000 and 35,000 a day. Did anybody guess that? Between 33,000 and 35,000 a day. That's what they say. I mean, decisions as far as like, okay, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? I don't know. That's a lot of decisions. I don't know. I can't say that that's totally accurate, but that's what they say. Between 33,000 and 35,000, that's a lot of decisions. Now, obviously, some of those are just, you know, decisions that really won't have an impact on changing our lives. But there are times where there are important decisions that we need to be careful in how we make them. The valley of decision. This morning, maybe everything's going great in your life, then that's good. File this sermon away. Because someday you're going to go through a valley. One of these days, you're going to go through a low point in your life. We all do. It's just part of living. We got to make sure that during those times, we don't make a decision that later we're going to regret. We don't want to make a decision that we wouldn't have made if we weren't in the valley. We don't want to make a decision that will hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. The valley of decision. This morning, I pray that you would take some of these things I've given you to help you in your decision-making process for your life. Because decisions determine our direction. And our direction determines our destination. And if we're going to get to the place where God wants us to be, living the victorious Christian life, it's built upon our decision. I'm thinking of one person this morning. I love this person dearly. But this person is making poor decisions. And the thing that this person doesn't realize is those decisions are giving this person a direction that they're going. And that direction is going to end up to a destination that they're going to regret later. Let's learn to make God-fearing, godly decisions that we won't regret and that we'll be able to stand before God and say, Lord, thank you for giving me the wisdom, the discernment, the right to make the right decisions in my life. We won't make that when we're in the valley. We'll end up making poor decisions. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would take this. It's a practical message, Lord, but it's something I think we need because life is full of decisions. And Lord, we've got to realize that our decisions matter. And we want to be in the right frame of mind when we make them. We want to have your wisdom, your direction, your guidance. We don't want to make decisions out of emotion and that we're going to regret later. Help us with this thought this morning. Help us to make decisions that glorify you and please you. We ask that you'd bless our invitation this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then I want to encourage you, reach out to him. Call upon his name, ask for his forgiveness, admit that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness, let him save you this morning. If you're a Christian and you've got some decisions to make, I pray that you would ask the Lord for his help right now, where you are, ask him for his help.